Amen, amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles to turn to Philemon today. It's a one-page book near the end of your Bible, and it's so small it doesn't even have chapters. So it's just Philemon 6 today, not chapter 6, just one of the verses there. We're going to study that as we end up our keychain series today. We're excited about that. But I've brought along with my Bible a section of the paper that I have to confess to you that I never read. This is from the USA Today money section this for last Friday. And usually I never get past the sports page. Usually I get too distracted to even read all of that, all right? But sometimes I end up with the money page. And this is really interesting to me because in this section, you can figure out how certain things are doing. You can check out the prices of shares. For instance, Goodyear, pretty good right now. They are up $2.77. Anybody care about that? If you own shares in Goodyear, you might care. Tires are good things, right? What about Air Products and Chemicals? Probably never heard of that. They're up $5.06. So if you own shares in that, it's a pretty big deal, all right? CBS is up. They're doing well. This is a shocker to me. Comcast is down because they charge me a lot for my cable. But anyway, that's another story. They're down $2.28. I bring this out here not because anybody in here really cares about the money section. In fact, most of you guys are looking at me like, what is he doing? Well, the reason you don't care about the stuff that I just read is because you're not invested in it, because you don't own shares. If you own shares in those companies, you care. And if you work for those companies, you'd care because you'd be involved in the shares of those companies, right? And you can get in anytime you want to. If you have enough money, you can buy shares in these companies and other companies. A few years ago, I was just decided to goof around with some of my retirement money, which is always a fun thing to do, but that's just the way I am. And so I asked the guy that's managing my stuff. I'm like, hey, can I just buy some fund stocks, all these mutual funds? Can I do something else? Yeah, and so I did. I bought some stock in Harley Davidson, and I bought some stock in Krispy Kreme, and I bought some stock in Starbucks, right? Front row was ahead of me on that part of the sermon, all right? You knew. Now, that tells you a lot about your pastor. I like writing fast and drinking coffee and eating sweet things, all right? But there was a time, and I didn't really care. I still just had that retirement money, and I'm young, and I don't care about retirement. There's money there. There's stuff I'm putting away. But then the guy that manages it, he calls me one day, and he goes, hey, Krispy Kreme is not doing well. Their business model is getting ready to fall. And he tipped me off, and I sold my shares of Krispy Kreme. Now, I can't prove this, but I think ever since then, Krispy Kreme has gone downhill. But I can't really prove it was because I sold the shares there. But here's the deal. I've intentionally used the word share and invest and partnership because that's what we're talking about today in Philemon 6. Rightly understood, the church is a place that we have shares in. And that's what Paul's writing to this guy named Philemon in the first century. He lives in Colossae. Let's read this verse together. You can either open your Bible and read it, or you can just get the keychain that you received on the way in. By the way, I love all these colors. I don't know what that is. What is that? Sherbet? Something like that? Raspberry sherbet color. Okay, anyway. Please focus, Mike. Okay, Philemon verse 6. Here we go. Simple verse. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. Let's read it again. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us today through his holy word. Father, we hold up your word here because we think it's true. We think it's right. We think you've got something to say to us even today, even though these words were written to a Christian guy almost 2,000 years ago now. We believe that your spirit inspired it and that you have something to say to us. So I pray for every person here, people that don't know you maybe as their Savior, that you'll draw them in. People that are walking with you, that you'll encourage them and spur them on. And some of us that are just kind of hanging out in church and not doing anything, I pray that you'll convict us today and get us going. So Lord, thank you for this time to teach and this time to preach your word, and I pray that you'll be in it, and I pray that you do miraculous stuff through it. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Well, this letter is kind of unique for the Apostle Paul because most of the Apostle Paul's letters, when he wrote to people in the first century, they were to whole churches, or in the case of Galatia, the whole sections. It's like writing a letter to the churches of Illinois. But this one is specific, and it's small, and it's personal, and it's to one guy by the name of Philemon. And you have to understand the context here. This is the coolest thing because Paul, remember, is in jail. He's under house arrest in Rome. And it just happens that this guy named Onesimus comes into his company, and Paul begins to talk to him. He's a runaway slave. He's hiding out in Rome because that's the best place to hide. And Paul converts him to Christianity. And they begin talking about their past and all the stuff that's going on in their life. And they start putting two and two together. He says, now, where are you from, Colossae? Yeah, so who was the guy that you ran away? Who was your master? Yeah, this guy named Philemon. And Paul goes, Philemon, he and I are good friends. And now you're a Christian, runaway slave, and he's a Christian, some kind of business owner or wealthy guy that lives in Colossae. So here's the deal. I'm going to send you and Tychicus along with the letter to the Colossians, which we also have, and this letter to Philemon, and I'm going to ask him for your freedom. In the middle of this letter, we learn about fellowship in the church. We learn about what God is doing in relationships. What's so cool about this? This is a rare opportunity. We get to look into a guy that really lived in the first century. There's a real situation here. It's tense. There's a church, and it's not that big. And there's one guy that owns a slave that ran away, and there's another guy that's a slave. And guess what? Now they're both brothers in Christ. Something's going to happen. And so the Apostle Paul says to Philemon, here's what I want you to do. I want you, in verse 6, and let's just look at this again, I pray that the sharing of your faith, we got to focus on a couple of words here. And I want to say this to you again, in a way that even is beyond me, and I've studied Greek and read Greek for all these years, and, you know, I was like a B student in Greek, okay? So that's the kind of theology you get, just kidding. But in this study of the Greek, this is a very complicated Greek sentence. In fact, that's why some of you guys have some of your scriptures, your translations say, be active in sharing your faith. And this one says that the sharing of your faith may be effective. The word active and effective, same word. Scholars are torn between what Paul's actually saying here. Is he saying you should share your faith? Like if I say to you, share your faith, you go, okay, I should tell somebody about it. Or is he saying, hey, share your faith with the people around you who are Christians. Just be in partnership with them. And I believe, as I've studied this week and looked at all the different options, I believe that God is saying both. The sharing of your faith should be something that's constantly calling people into partnership with you. And it's also a constant celebration of the partnership we have in Jesus Christ. That's what that word share is. You heard it. You know it. It's the Greek word koinonia. It means fellowship. It means partnership. The reason I started off with this stock report and the shares is because it literally means to be in business together, to have shares in something together. Rightly understood, the church is a place where you and I come together and we share some things. We're invested together. We have the same interest. When the church goes well, then we rejoice with it. When the church suffers, we suffer with it. We are in this together. First century world, the Apostle Paul, if he were in business, and he was with Aquila and Priscilla making tents in Corinth, I've seen those shops there. There were actual shops there, just like your outdoor malls today. They were in business together. Rightly understood, the church is a place where we share. We're in fellowship. We are in partnership. We have same interest in this place called church. There's one other word I want to look at, and that's the word become. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become. Because I've put that in your outline today because the reality is that we are a part of a community that shares everything together, but we're also a community of becoming. The word here literally means to come into being, and it kind of has the idea of being born. We're all being transformed in this culture that we live in called Eastview Christian Church. So the sharing of the faith is a process of becoming and ownership together. So let's look at this together today. Church is a partnership. It's a partnership, first of all, where faith becomes effective. See this again. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, let's just talk about faith for just a moment. The idea that you and I hold convictions. Now, the first thing you need to understand about what we share in here together, and if you're visiting, you just need to know this about Eastview Christian Church, there are some convictions we hold. God's God, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three personalities, one God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. The Bible is the inspired word of God. So you need to understand, when you join in this, as a matter of fact, one of the first weeks that we did the Keychain series, by the way, I tried not to be schmaltzy with this, but it just so happens, without working too hard, that all the scriptures we've memorized these first 6 weeks fit into this sermon. Okay? And I was brought back to 2 Timothy 3:16. We memorize this. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We're convinced. And you need to understand this. If you want to be a part of the partnership that is Eastview Christian Church, we're convinced that this word of God is true. Why is that? Because it was given to prophets and others in the Old Testament. God spoke, and then he spoke mostly through his son Jesus Christ, the living word of God, and this is an inspired record of the living word of God. What does that mean when I say to you that we believe the Bible? First of all, you get a sermon from this word every Sunday. And we teach it in our small groups. And we lead by this. It means that all the values we share in, if you want to know as shareholders of Eastview Christian Church, what's the report? This is the report. This is who we are. Whatever the Bible says that we are, we are. If it says that we have a promise for something, we believe the promises and we hope in it. If it says that we should change, then we work at changing. If it says we should act a certain way, then we live by it. If it says that something is a sin, we hold to it. I've just got a new answer for people that ask me in this culture of ours, what about this sin or that sin? What do you think about this sin? I've got one of two responses. Number one is, why do you care what I think? Because I want to know why. You're just trying to trap me or you want a real answer? Why do you care what I think? And number two, what does the Bible say? Because whatever the Bible says is what I say. And whatever the Bible calls a sin is what I call a sin. And if you're in this fellowship here, that's what you believe. Now, if you don't believe that, you're really not in. Okay, because this is the word of God. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Okay, but we are all very different, but our partnership is based on the shared convictions. Paul's writing to Philemon. He's saying, Philemon, I know you're from different worlds. You're a rich dude. You probably own houses, probably have a big farm or something like that you're farming, and you have slaves. I want you to understand, you and Onesimus have the same exact belief in Jesus Christ. And therefore, you're no longer master-slave, you're brother-brother. And we also believe that not only should we just have convictions, but our convictions should be put into action. That no matter how deep your conviction is, and I want you to hear this, it means nothing unless you see it. In other words, in this community of agreeing together on what we believe, we are trying to move from this is what I believe verbally to this is what I believe, watch me. We want people to see Jesus in us, the stuff that we really are convicted of. See, Christianity is not a spectator sport. You know, we've been watching the Olympics the last week and a half, and we're just watching them. And it's really cool to sit there with your Coke and your popcorn or your cereal or whatever and just watching people go down 90 miles an hour down a ski slope or something. It's like, that's awesome, right? But you're not in it. They represent the USA, and you get excited about it, but you're not in it. Christianity is not sit on your couch and eat cereal and say, go church. You're in it. You put the skis on. You go down the slopes. All right? Just last week, we looked at this keychain number 6. We memorized Titus 3:14. And let our people learn. Oh, I'm sorry. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help those in urgent need and not to be unfruitful. Sooner or later, the partnership of faith that you and I have has to be expressed with our actions. James, the brother of Jesus, says it in chapter 2. Verse 17, he says, so also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead. So this is a fellowship that believes that we put our faith, our deepest convictions, into action. And here's the whole thing I want you to consider. If you're visiting today and you're not a part of Eastview, or you've been here for a while, you're deciding whether you want to be a member, or you've been a member here for 80 years, that'd be really impossible because it's only about a 60-year-old church. But anyway, if you've been here for that long, what I'm appealing to you is this is the stuff that I'm calling you to partner with, that God calls us to partner with in his word. He says, Philemon, it's cool that you love the Lord. It's cool that you believe in forgiveness and grace and all that. As a matter of fact, you've got a reputation for it. Look what he says in verse 5. You have a reputation for the love and the faith you have for all the saints. And then in verse 7, I've derived much joy from you because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. He's a good dude. But now he's saying, can you put that love and that grace and all that you believe about Jesus Christ and forgiveness, can you transfer that now to Onesimus that you probably have some issues with because he likely ran away from you, he likely left you high and dry, he probably stole some money to pay for his trip to Rome, he owes you. Will you forgive him? Will you see him as an equal? See, we just completed another awesome super steps around here. You know, we have E-steps around here. It's our membership class, steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you go through it. And people ask all the time, well, why do you do that? Because we want you to know what you're getting in partnership with. Okay, we kind of downplay the whole official membership thing. We don't give you a big certificate you can hang on your wall and say, I'm a member. We don't do that. But we do want everyone here to say, we're in. And we review it all the time. Every month, about 150 people went through it just a week ago. And what we share in this E-Steps is that, you know what, we want to be fearlessly following Jesus. That's what we do. We just don't hang out. We just don't come to church and find our favorite colored chair and sit there every week and find our, that's not who we are. It's not a spectator sport. We are following Jesus Christ. And to do that, we want you to get involved in a small group. I'm just going to tell you, if you're here, you come to Eastview, you're not in a small group, you really don't have partnership with us. Okay? That's what's so cool last Sunday night. Connections, about 120 people or so got in a new small group. Praise God, because you're in now. This is what we do. We're in this partnership together. Ridiculous love. We don't want people to come here and be mean-spirited, not like other people, look down on other people. We're about ridiculous love. We want you to know this. If you come to Eastview, we expect each other to love other people in ways that are ridiculous. We expect the people here to be dangerous witnesses. Can you imagine the first century, how people were putting their lives on the line for faith in Jesus Christ, literally being killed or thrown into jail? Can you imagine what they would say to the other people in the church that weren't sharing their faith? Well, it's the same way here. There are people all around this congregation who are sharing their faith daily with those that they work with and those that they know and their family members. We expect this to be a place of dangerous witness. We expect this to be a place of serving. We talked about it last week. You know, if you're not serving here at Eastview Christian Church, you're not just missing Eastview Christian Church partnership, you're missing the whole Kingdom of God thing. Because service is what Kingdom of God is all about. We come to serve. And so if you're not invested in the church and serving here, then you're not in. If you're not giving, I know it always gets crunchy when a senior pastor starts talking about giving. But if you're not giving to the church financially, being generous, then you're not in. People ask me something, you know, there's people that come to Eastview that don't give or don't give regularly. What do you feel about those people? And I'm like, you know what? I feel sorry for them. Because all the cool stuff that we just talked about from Kenya and all the cool stuff we're doing with adopting kids all over the world and sponsoring children, all the people that we get to see baptized into Jesus Christ, all the people that we get to see come to faith in Jesus Christ and grow in the knowledge, all the marriages that are saved, all the people that are fed at the food pantry, all of that stuff, they can't say, that's my church. They can say, that's the one I go to. In fact, that's a good measure for you to see whether you're in or not. If you are in the fellowship of the church, you will say more likely, that's my church. If you just go to it, you say, that's the church I go to. Which is it for you today? I hope it's more than just go to for you. Well, let's lead to the next passage here. So I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective, have energy to it. That's the word. I skipped over that word study. It means to have energy. That's why some of your translations say, I hope that you may be active in sharing your faith. That's the word energos. It has to do with energy and power behind it. It's got to be put into motion. And then it brings us to the next. May become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. Now remember, we talked about good stuff isn't naturally in us. So what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the stuff that's in us as the church. The stuff that's in us through Jesus Christ. When we come together, Jesus Christ lives in us. And that actually, believe it or not, helps our knowledge of who Jesus is. Let's see it again, okay? Break it down because, again, it's a very, very funky kind of structure sentence here. For the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. What's in us? Jesus Christ. And so when we do partnership in church together, we learn about Jesus Christ. You know, the best way to learn about Jesus is not to memorize a bunch of stuff about him in the Bible. It's to be in partnership with his body, the church. Yes, you should study the Bible. You should start learn about him mentally. But you understand him more in the fellowship that is the church. He's saying, Philemon, listen. You think you know about grace and forgiveness? Wait till you start standing next to Onesimus singing songs of praise. Wait till you're preaching and Onesimus says, amen. Wait till Onesimus gets up to share a prayer request and you put your arms around him and you help him out. Now we got grace. Now we got the church. Now that we see Jesus working in us. See, accepting Onesimus, the runaway, stole money, social system, lower than him, slave, will help this congregation in Colossae learn a whole lot more about Jesus than memorizing stuff about Jesus. Week 5, we studied this, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. It's one of our memory verses. And what we said is, by our lives, by our words, by our conduct, by our purity, we mark other people. And never is that more true in the church. Part of our share in the church is that you mark me and I mark you. I mean, if we are supposed to be people who follow Jesus Christ and the body of Christ is the church, then we can learn about Jesus by looking at the church. I mean, I learned this in an early age. When I was about 13 years old in the church that I grew up with in, there was a scandalous, very public church of 400 people. Everybody in the church knew it. A scandalous, adulterous relationship going on between a deacon and another deacon's wife. It was a big deal, as it should be. It finally came down to the point where the elders decided, okay, the two offending people who have stopped their relationship, they have to come before the congregation and say, we're sorry before God, and we're sorry to you, and we want you to forgive us and love us. Well, again, regardless of what you think about that, it was a Sunday night. I remember it. And there were only about 100 people there. But at the invitation, because there was always an invitation growing up, and it usually lasted 7 or 8 verses, but at the invitation, this guy came forward, the adulterer. And through tears, with the pastor's arm around him, he asked for forgiveness from God and from the congregation. And that's cool. That's overwhelming. But what happened after the closing prayer was even more overwhelming. The first guy down to give him a hug and welcome him back was the offended husband. Well, I learned a lot about Jesus that day. And it's 35 years later, and I still am amazed by it. It still moves me deeply. Because I saw the love of Christ. I didn't hear about it. I didn't study it. And it's not always that dramatic, but every time someone gives sacrificially, I'm inspired to be more generous. And every time I see someone serving behind the scenes, I'm inspired to serve when no one sees it. And every time I see someone loving somebody who's not like them, I'm inspired to love those not like me. You see, in reality, you and I are a fellowship where we teach each other with our actions about Jesus all the time. Not only do I see it in you, but I see it in me. An increase of Jesus in my life just from watching what he's doing in me personally. I not only increase my knowledge about Jesus by watching the life you live, but I increase my knowledge by watching how he lives in me. Remember in week 2, we studied Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we talked about, hey, he's prepared stuff for us to do. Holy, spiritual, kingdom of God, eternal stuff for me and for you. And all we got to do is walk around and go, okay, Holy Spirit, where are we going today? We got to watch. But I'm telling you, I want to encourage you today in this fellowship, in this partnership that you and I have Jesus Christ living in us. He's doing a work in us. And if we pay attention to what he's doing in us, we will be inspired by it. I can't help but think about, as I see all the stuff that's happening today, about how God has just done some cool stuff in my life. How Pastor Shadrach is on stage here with us today, and he's a part of this, this partnership that we have with him in Nairobi, Kenya. But if you would rewind about 18 years, there's this kid named Chad Parker who's a member of our youth ministry. And he's a business guy and he grows up and he's very, very, you know, he's a passionate guy. And he goes to Africa the one time. He starts an organization that starts helping do education and stuff in Kenya with Pastor Shadrach way before the church was even involved. Now, this is a kid that hopefully was a little bit influenced to the good by me. Miraculously. Amen. And then I watched today as this pastor that I didn't know 18 years ago, but I knew a kid in my youth group, is interviewed by another kid from our youth group who was a clown and a half. That's why I liked him so much. I can't tell you how much you will see about Jesus if you just look around and see how he's working in your life, even your life. It amazes me. And that's just my stuff. You've got all kinds of stories like that where God's answered prayers, where he's given you direction, where he's followed through with promises that he's made, where he's not given you what you asked for, he's given you something better. Or he's not given you what you asked for in prayer, he saved you from what you asked for in prayer. And all of a sudden, you start looking at your life and you start going, Jesus is real. I mean, you can tell me Jesus isn't real all you want. I know he is. Because of what he's done in my dorky little life. You know? So, and that brings us back to this end part here. I pray that the sharing, this partnership of your faith, this fellowship of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. All the good stuff in us and me and you because Jesus Christ is working in us. And then for this last, it just sums it all up. That is good thing in us for the sake of Christ. Church is a partnership where Christ becomes all. We studied this together. In week 4, our memory verse, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything, whatever. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because why? Because he's the point. This is one of the big duh moments of the sermon. Jesus is the point of the church. Hey, Philemon, this is not going to be fair. Onesimus is not going to have to pay anything. He might owe you thousands of dollars. He might owe you an apology. Hey, Onesimus, this is not going to be fair. You found this new life in Jesus Christ and this new freedom in Christ, and I'm the apostle, and you're helping me on my ministry, and I'm going to make you go back to Colossae and reconcile with the guy that you cheated. Hey, people in the church at Colossae, this is not about you. Well, this is weird, man. We have our social structures all in place here. Certain people are slaves, and certain people are owners, and certain people are in between. Guess what? Paul says, the church is not about you, Philemon. Church is not about you, Onesimus. Church is not about you, uncomfortable people in Colossae who don't like what the Apostle Paul wrote. I've been a leader long enough to know that there are people in the church that said, Paul's lost his mind. Or throw that letter away. I'm not in this church anymore. And so it's important for us to understand that this is what makes the partnership that is church unique of all the other partnerships in the world. Can you think of another membership or another organization where the organization is not at least to some degree about its members? If you join, you get this. If you invest, then you'll get this privilege. In fact, they won't even let us give anymore without being acknowledged for it, right? You give at St. Patrick's Day, you get a shamrock with your name on it. Because we want something. We get something out. Church is not that. Church is about Jesus. It's not about you. He doesn't care if you like the music. Doesn't care if you like the preaching. Doesn't care if it's, you know, if it's too hot in here. He doesn't care if you like the donuts. He doesn't. It's not about you. I mean, the Bible is very clear. The church is by Christ, for Christ. So if you want to be in this partnership, our partnership is looking out for who's going to praise Jesus Christ. That's what we're using our gifts for. That's what every membership is about. So this church is not about me. And it's not about you. And this life is not about us. And our talents are not about us. And our gifts are not about us. And our money's not about us. And our family's not about us. My marriage, my church family, it's all for Christ's sake. And here's the grand irony of the church. When you take the focus off of you and put it on Jesus, then you're a part of a fellowship that ends up blessing you. I don't know how that happens. All I know is that if we begin to live that way, then our focus changes. When we begin to focus on Jesus Christ, when we say as a congregation, for the sake of Christ, everything for the sake of Christ, when we say that, then guess what? Our perspective changes. And we shift into something that's more eternal, Philippians 1:21 was the verse that we memorized, the easiest verse to memorize. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. There's only one way you're going to say that, and that is if Jesus Christ becomes the focal point of everything you do. Then you can say, hey, this party called life, when it's over, that's cool, because I got eternity. And that's what makes this fellowship different than anybody else, anything else you can invest in. You can invest in these stocks, but they're not going to be around 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, probably. Nobody's going to care. There's a lot of stuff we invest in this world that's going to be gone. But when you invest in the fellowship that is the church, when you say, I'm a part of this fellowship that is Christianity, then guess what? You not only get to enjoy it now, but you get to see something that's going to last forever. Philemon, listen. This is a short life. We all have ups and downs. Maybe your feelings were hurt. Maybe you've mistreated Onesimus. Maybe you need to apologize to him. Something has to happen between you two guys who are different parts of the social structure, maybe different races, maybe different backgrounds. You have to come together because that's what this partnership's about, Philemon. And I'm sure Paul had given the same speech to Onesimus. Can you imagine? Onesimus, here's the Christian thing to do. You got to go back to your master. Oh, no. I don't do that. Yeah, it's what Christianity's about. We love each other. Now, you may be thinking as we've studied this scripture today that you've heard the sermon before. And in fact, just 5 months ago, September 22nd, 2013, I preached this exact same verse. Not the exact same sermon. I'm not that kind of guy, okay? This is all fresh bread. Just baked it this week, all right? But I wanted to bring us back to this today because, you know, we said when we preached this 5 months ago, we were in the beginning of a series called Open. And we said this verse sets the stage for us. We are an open fellowship. We are open with one another. We are sharing with one another. We are in it with one another. We are invested in one another. We are for one another. When this whole place celebrates, we all celebrate together. When this whole place cries, we cry together. When God does miracles, we all celebrate because we all invested in it. When we have needs, we all participate in it. We're in this fellowship. This is open fellowship, koinonia. But it's also open because we want more people to be in it. We have brothers and sisters and family members and people that we work with and people we go to school with who are lost. And here's the deal. Through Jesus Christ, they can be partners with us in this. And so I just wanted to get up here today, 5 months after the fact, and say, hey, we're still open. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're open. Just come to Him by faith today and you're in with us. And if you're here today and you've just kind of been sitting on the sidelines and you just kind of come to church and you got to go to Eastview, today's the day to get in with us. Man, invest with us. Be a part of this because we're still open. And for those of us who are in, man, continue to live lives that are open so people can see it because this is not a closed fellowship. This is a place where all are welcome. And my prayer is that thousands more in this town will be a part of this in the near future. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for a chance to share your word today. I'm blessed by it, blessed by the story that is Philemon. I pray that you just be with us as we live it out. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.